What's up, everybody? Guess who's hosting a new podcast? No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. Listen as I pull back the curtain on everything beyond the world of sports, interviewing influential guests, outspoken celebrities, and thought leaders across the political, financial, and social spectrum. You know me, I'll give you my unbiased opinion. A No Mercy episode drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith, a presentation of Cadence 13 and Odyssey Studio, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcast. What's up, everybody? Guess who's hosting a new podcast? No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. Listen as I pull back the curtain on everything beyond the world of sports, interviewing influential guests, outspoken celebrities, and thought leaders across the political, financial, and social spectrum. You know me, I'll give you my unbiased opinion. A No Mercy episode drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith, a presentation of Cadence 13 and Odyssey Studio, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcast.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. It's time for week 5 of No Huddle Offense, only on The Zach Gelb Show.
Touchdowns, sacks, upsets, and last-minute heroics. Another NFL Sunday is in the books, and we've got you covered with the biggest plays and sound bites from another wild week in the National Football League. It's time for No Huddle Offense on the Zach Gelb Show.
How about these Giants? We have not had a good Giants team since 2016. It's been so bad for New York football the last few years. We'll get to the Jets in just a moment, but the Giants were 3-1, and they were going to London to square off against Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. And early on, it looked like it was going to be a royal day for one Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. It was 17-3. I'm thinking after Mercedes Lewis, the old man scores a touchdown. Okay, we're going to win a bet this weekend. Packers laying 8. We're going to be good. Even at 20-10 at halftime, going to be fine. And then Aaron Rodgers and the Packers forgot how to play football in the second half, or they just got shut down by Wink Martindale, Brian Daboll, and the New York football Giants. Let's listen up. This is a Saquon Barkley 2-yard touchdown run to make it 27-20 with 6:08 left in the fourth quarter into Aaron Rodgers getting the ball batted down on 4th-and-1 at the Giants 6-yard line. Here's Bob Papa as the Giants win the game and go to 4-1.
Jones lined up left. Saquon takes the snap. Saquon bounces outside. Barkley's in for the touchdown, and the Giants have the lead with 6:08 to go. Rodgers calls out signals. Dillon to his right. Rodgers takes the snap. Back. Fires it. Pass batted by the Giants. Incomplete. The Giants sent the blitz, and they batted it away.
Incredible victory for the Giants. They would have lost that game. No one probably would have said a negative word about them because of how many guys that they were down with in the contest. Daniel Jones playing hurt. Saquon Barkley back. But that receiving core is just not good. And they beat the Packers 27-22. Barkley, 106 yards of total offense and a touchdown. Bills and the Steelers. If you laid the 14, you're in a great mood. Gabe Davis was also in a great mood. First play that he gets, 98-yard touchdown. Then Gabe Davis went back for more. Here's a 62-yard grab, a one-handed catch, a second TD of the game. This made it 17-3 Buffalo. Here's John Murphy on the Bills Radio Network.
Snap to Josh. Looks downfield. Going to throw it. Sets up deep. Throwing deep. Looks downfield for Gabe Davis again. He makes a one-handed catch. Goes into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. Holy mackerel, they did it again. 62 yards. Gabe Davis made a spectacular one-handed catch.
Josh Allen, 20 of 31, 424 yards, 4 touchdowns, 420 passing yards, the most ever by a Bills quarterback in regulation. And he had 348 passing yards in the first half. For Gabe Davis, 3 receptions, 171 yards, and 2 scores. Hot take, Kiki, quick math for you. Let's just see how close you come to this. 3 catches, 171 yards. Yards per catch. How many yards per catch is that?
55.4.
Pretty close.
All right.
57. Straight up.
Not bad.
Not bad. It's a good job by you. Real good job. Math's
better job by
show.
Gabe, but I'll take it.
Oh, I would have never got close to that. That was a good job by you. Bills go to 4-1. Steelers fall to 1-4. Yikes. Hey, at least I'm winning something this year. I'm getting a steak dinner from Brian McFadden. Remember when he said to me that that the Steelers are going to make the playoffs? They're going to make the playoffs. And I said, I'll bet you a steak dinner on that. Brian, by the way, Peter Luger, Porterhouse, medium rare. Also like my sides, lobster mac and cheese. I'll take some cream spinach. Get a lot of bacon, extra bacon too. And the french fries, well done. And then we'll work on the rest of the order, the schlag and the dessert and all that. But you're going to be owing me some dinner. Anyway, Chargers and Browns, 30-28. Chargers beat the Browns. Brandon Staley, in just dumb fashion, goes for it on 4th-and-1 at his own 46. Looks like he was going to give away the game as they didn't get it. Cade York, who was the week 1 hero up against the Carolina Panthers, well, he turns out to be the week 5-0, missing a 54-yard field goal. Here is Matt Smith and Daniel Jeremiah on the Chargers Radio Network.
Play clock down to 4. Snap. Kick is up, and it is no good. No good. He pushed it right.
And I just saw a beer fly from the top of the stadium all the way down.
Oh, man, that was close. The Chargers are going to get out of here with a win.
If I would have told you before the game, Rye, that the Browns would have 213 yards on the ground and 3 rushing touchdowns, you probably would have thought they would have won the game, right?
Feel good about those numbers, absolutely.
238 yards for the Chargers on the ground. Now, they only had 2 rushing touchdowns, but Austin Eckler was a stud. 16 carries, 173 yards. If I had to make you do that mental math real quickly once again, 16 carries, 173 yards. How many yards per carry is that for one Austin Eckler? I think I said this earlier on the show, too.
10.3.
Pretty close. 10.8.
Oh.
Good job by you.
We'll take it in the ballpark.
Chargers win. They're now 3-2. Browns, woof, woof. They fall to 2-3. Vikings and the Bears. Another week where Minnesota can only play a good half of football and they still find a way to win. Kirk Cousins, 1-yard QB sneak to give the Vikings a 29-22 lead with 2:26 left in the fourth quarter into the Cam Dantzler fumble recovery. What a play this was to seal the victory with 1:12 left in the game. Let's listen up to the always entertaining Paul Allen on the Vikings Radio Network.
Bears lead 22-21, 2.5 minutes to go. Cousins on a sneak! And no signal!
He is in.
No signal!
Seriously.
What are we doing?
Give me a
yes.
Signal!
Touchdown! Kirk on the sneak for a rushing touchdown. Fields back to pass, throws left, it's caught. Amir Smith-Marset against his former team. Cam Dantzler stole it from him, and he slides down and wins the game! Cam Dantzler ripped the ball away from his former teammate, Amir Smith-Marset, and he has stolen all hope the Chicago Bears had. The Vikings are going to win!
Is there a better play-by-play guy on the radio when his team is in one of those crazy back-and-forth games where you're on the verge of blowing a game, you're up 21-3, Jalen Reagor finally did something positive in his NFL career. He gets a touchdown, puts him up 21-3, then eventually the Bears get the lead 22-21 before you had all that mayhem go down where the Vikings end up getting the victory. Out of all the NFL play-by-play guys, hot take, Icky, just the play-by-play guys, not into the big-time debate of is it Scott Zolak or Dave Lapham as the best color analyst in the NFL on the radio. Is there anything that tops one Paul Allen?
I am trying to think. I don't think so. Greg Papa brings a lot of energy.
No. Touchdown! San Francisco! No.
You don't like that one? Doesn't get you going?
Too much stick for me. On that.
I like Mitch Holtis. He's another legendary voice.
Great pipes.
But to answer your question, no. No one can top Paul Allen and his energy.
Final numbers from the game. Kirk Cousins, 32 of 41, 296 yards and a touchdown. Started the game 17-17. Most consecutive completions in Vikings history. Justin Jefferson didn't find the end zone, but he did have 12 receptions for 154 yards and also completed a pass for 23 yards. The Patriots. We had some life on offense. Can we go up against the Lions each and every week? And I don't ever want to hear again, oh, the Lions,
Look at their offense. They're in so many games, number one offense in the NFL.
Means jack when you have one win. Bite off those kneecaps, Dan Campbell. How do you like me now? Anyway, talking about energy. Kyle Duggar, 59-yard fumble recovery for a touchdown. This is on, what, 4th and 9? What were they doing here? Going for it. This made it 13-0 Pats. Here's Bob Sosi and the background noise of one Scott Zolak on the Patriots radio network.
Oh, yeah, get him. Go, go.
Takes the snap. He is going to look to play it out. He's chased by Juba. Rolling to the left. Goff fumbles. It's scooped up. Yeah. Duggar has it. Foot race to the 35-30. Duggar's in the clear to the 10. End zone bound. High stepping. Leaping. Coming down with a touchdown. New England.
Way to flip the field. Good job, Dan Campbell. And all your little cronies upstairs going through their little markings and their books. Oh, 4th and 9. Oh, the sheet said, the chart says to go for it.
Zolak, part of the analytic nerds in a blender. Oh, that was awesome. My favorite part of that, though, you had to really be listening carefully. I've never heard a color analyst go, curl him. That's like me on my couch watching the game. Curl him, got him. Take him down, curl him. Can I get the beginning of that call one more time?
Takes the snap. He is going to look to play it out. He's chased by Juba. Rolling to the left. Goff fumbles. It's scooped up. Yeah. Duggar has it. Foot race to the 35-30. Duggar's in the clear to the 10.
That's amazing. You know what that sounds like? Remember I told you about my uncle who's so passionate and watches the game? That would be my uncle. Kill him. Yeah. Get me the cookies. I'm ready to go. Yeah. That's awesome.
That's unbelievable.
Kill him.
The best. The best. Take that, nerds.
I love Zolak. Ramondre Stevenson, 25 carries for 161 yards. He killed the Lions defense. Bailey Zappi gets his first NFL win as a starter. Saints and the Seahawks. Wild back and forth game. Taysom Hill had 4 total touchdowns. Let's hear the 60-yard TD run. This made it the final score of 39-32 with 5:22 left in the fourth quarter. They also got the 2-point conversion off this.
From the right hash mark, Taysom Hill keeps it, looks for first down, and he's got it. And he's got room to run. 50, 40, 30, 20. Will he get caught from behind? That is going to be a touchdown. Taysom Hill. Taysom TD. 60 yards.
That's a weird call. Taysom Hill, Taysom TD. Do you like that call?
Let's just say it's not as good as the last two
we
played before that.
Mike Haas on the Saints Radio Network. He's a new play-by-play guy, right? Because Zach Strief used to do it.
And year two.
Now he's, an assistant offensive line coach or something like that for the Saints. Anytime I hear his calls, I'm not a fan. Anyway, yeah. 9 carries for Taysom Hill, 112 yards, 3 touchdowns, and he also threw for a touchdown pass in the game, 22 yards. You know the happiest people were watching this game? If you had to take 2 guesses, the happiest people watching this game.
Taysom Hill's mom and dad?
No.
Sean Payton.
Sean Payton and?
Mike Westhoff.
Yes. There we go. Remember when Mike Westhoff said on this show, Taysom Hill is kind of like Lamar Jackson, except he throws the football better. Once again, those are the views of Mike Westhoff, not the views of Zach Gelb and the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. He also recovered a fumble on special teams, Taysom Hill. Is that right?
That's right. He did it. He literally did it all yesterday.
I missed that part. That's a heck of a job, though, for Taysom Hill. Jets and Dolphins. Breece Hall had a day. Let's listen up to Bob Ashusen on Jets Radio Network.
Ruckert motion. Toss to the right to Breece Hall. Cuts it back. At the 5. Down inside the 1 with a flag down. He's in the end zone for a touchdown if the play stands. A couple of flags are thrown.
Result of the play is a touchdown.
There it is.
Jets are just dynamite on the ground. Crazy performance. 5 rushing touchdowns for the Jets. Breece Hall had 1. Michael Carter had 2. Braxton Berrios had 1. And Zach, who's back First game starting in the swamps of Jersey this year. He gets a rushing touchdown as well. Breece Hall, the start of the game, 18 carries for 97 yards and that rushing TD, and then two receptions for 100 yards as the Jets win 40-17. Remember, Teddy Bridgewater was starting for the injured Tua Tagovailoa. Teddy Bridgewater left the game earlier than Skylar Thompson had to come in, 19 of 33, 166 yards and a pick for one Skylar Thompson. The Jets, 3-2. Dolphins, they fall to 3-2 as well. Buccaneers and the Falcons. Leonard Fournette, a one-yard touchdown reception. This made it 21-0. Bucs in the third quarter. Here's Gene Dekaroff on the Bucs Radio Network.
Rudolph in motion to the right. The snap, play action fake, and the pass by Brady to Fournette. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Easy pickings for Tom Brady and Leonard Fournette. Fire the cannons.
That was the last touchdown, the last points in the game that the Buccaneers did score. They ended up winning the game 21-15, but a controversial play here. It's third down. Falcons are getting off the field, and they called a roughing the passer on Jarrett, on Grady Jarrett. It was one of the worst calls I've ever seen. And that is coming from the biggest Tom Brady fan that there is. It was a horrible, 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 weak, terrible, brutal call by the officials. Brady, though, in the game, 35-52, 351 yards, and a passing touchdown. Titans and the Commanders. You know what? Just play the audio. Go ahead.
Wentz takes the snap. Looking, throwing, intercepted! Intercepted, David Long! 10! 20, 25, 30, runs into his own man. David Long is taken down at the 46. And the Titans have shut down the Commanders at the 2.
Yes, that is a hell yes.
Mike Keith and Coach Dave McGinnis on the Titans Radio Network. Now, the two plays before that, Wentz almost threw picks at the 2-yard line. Then he does throw a pick. When you get an interception like that right at the goal line, Ryan, you would think there would be the announcer sound like a little bit more surprise. Like, was this just expected? There was not a lot of initial shock when it happened. I know it's Wentz, he stinks, but come on.
And like you said, the first two passes, he's flirting with danger. It's almost kind of like, all right, he's going to do it again and just catch the ball this time.
Texans and the Jaguars. I told you I was going to be bizarrely excited about this game. It's going to be closer than what people thought. Texans get their first one on the year. They're now 1-3-1. Damian Pierce, one-yard touchdown run. This made it 13-6. Houston with 3:11 left in the fourth quarter. Here's Mark Vandermeer on the Texans Radio Network.
Offset eye, handoff Pierce to the goal line. He's in! The Texans take the lead. A one-yard touchdown run by Damian Pierce. Welcome back to Gator Country.
26 carries for 99 yards and a touchdown. Three receptions for 14 yards as well for Damian Pierce. Last game for Matt Rhule as the head football coach of the Carolina Panthers. The 49ers beat up on the Panthers 37-15. Today, as you know, Matt Rhule was fired. Here's Jeff Wilson Jr. on a one-yard TD run to make it 30-12 in the fourth quarter. Here's Greg Papa, Hickey's favorite announcer, and Tim Ryan on the 49ers Radio Network. Jeff Wilson Jr., 70 carries, 120 yards, and the score.
Jimmy under center. Juszczyk ahead of Wilson. They give it to Wilson off the right side. Touchdown, San Francisco.
And give a little assist to the outer Banks. The big fella, the tuna trawler. Aaron Banks pushing Jeff Wilson into the end zone and giving him the surge into the surf for 6.
That's a good job by Tim Ryan. Like that call. Cowboys Rams 22-10. Big time effort for the Dallas Cowboys in LA. Tony Pollard, 57-yard touchdown run. This made it 16-10. Dallas in the second quarter. Let's listen up to the Cowboys Radio Network as they had a lot of rushing attempts to a call as Tony Pollard goes for 86 yards and a touchdown. Ezekiel Elliott also had 78 yards as well.
And they're going to give the ball to Pollard. He busts up the middle. He broke a tackle right to the 40. Chased from behind at the 30. Turns left at the 20. To the 10. To the 5. And Pollard with a house call. Touchdown, Tony Pollard.
Cooper Rush is the starting quarterback. 3-0 this year. Cowboys go to 4-1 on the year. Rams fall to 2-3. Lost to the 49ers last week. Then get blown out by the Cowboys. Cowboys defense was awesome. Micah Parsons with 2 sacks in the contest. And really, that Rams offense is only Cooper Kupp. 7 receptions, 125 yards, and a score. Not much life for the Rams on offense. Eagles and the Cardinals. This game looked like it was going to be a blowout when it was 14-0. Then in the second quarter, the Cardinals were able to put up 10 points. And late in this game, it was 20-17 in favor of the Eagles. Kyler Murray, I guess you could say, gets the Cardinals in field goal range. Controversial spike on third down. They thought they got a first down, was not the case. It leads to this fourth down play, and this is the missed 43-yard field goal with 22 seconds left. The Eagles hold on to win. Here is Maurice and Mike Quick on the Eagles Radio Network.
43-yard attempt. The ball is spotted. The kick is underway, and the kick is...
No good.
It's no good. It is wide right. No good. He missed it. The officials hesitated, and he missed it.
Now, that game's in a dome. I don't think this is being talked about. I look back and watch that. Milton Williams, so I did not know who he was before this, but he's 93 on the Eagles. He gets his big paw on the football, I think. I think he maybe got a finger on the football because, Ryan, you watch that. I know it's an inexperienced kicker who's been all around the NFL, and you know it better than anybody with this guy. But that was so far right. That was almost the Madden kind of meme where the kick is all the way lined up to the right when you're hitting a 40-something yard field goal. That had to have been deflected.
I hope so. I've not like looked too deeply into it as you have. I hope that's the case. But, I mean, he was on the Chiefs. He's hard with the Colts. He's not exactly the most accurate kicker.
Don't tell that to Justin Pugh. Not his fault.
That's true. You're right.
Jalen Hurts, 26 of 36 for 239 yards. Hurts was also the Eagles' leading rusher with 15 carries for 61 yards. And the safest bet in the NFL, Jalen Hurts, anytime touchdown at 2 rushing touchdowns in the game. Ravens and Bengals, back and forth we go. Bengals take the lead late, only to get their hearts ripped out by Justin Tucker, Mr. Automatic, Mr. Clutch. 43-yard game-winning field goal with no time left to win the game. Lamar Jackson, the contest, 19-32 for 174 yards, a touchdown and a pick. Lamar also 12 times running the football for 58 yards, but here's the game-winning kick by Tucker, Jerry Sandusky, Jerry with the G on the Ravens Radio Network.
Nick Moore has the snap. Jordan Stout will have the hold. Snap is good. Hold is down. Kick on the way. It is up. It is good. Time has expired, and the Haze of the Barn.
That is No Huddle Offense, Week 5, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, everybody? Guess who's hosting a new podcast? No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. Listen as I pull back the curtain on everything beyond the world of sports, interviewing influential guests, outspoken celebrities, and thought leaders across the political, financial, and social spectrum. You know me. I'll give you my unbiased opinion. A No Mercy episode drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith, a presentation of Cadence 13 and Odyssey Studio, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcast. What's up, everybody? Guess who's hosting a new podcast? No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. Listen as I pull back the curtain on everything beyond the world of sports, interviewing influential guests, outspoken celebrities, and thought leaders across the political, financial, and social spectrum. You know me. I'll give you my unbiased opinion. A No Mercy episode drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith, a presentation of Cadence 13 and Odyssey Studio, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcast.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
And you can think of O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Raiders and Chiefs both go 3-and-out. Raiders now have the football as they're met with a 3rd-and-3. And you're going to get Derek Carr pitching the football to Josh Jacobs. Wow. He was stopped short 3 times and then got the first, but... Raiders fans, there is a flag on the play, and it's in the area of offensive holding, it looks like. So I'm assuming this first down is not going to count, and then it's going to go into a 3rd-and-long type of situation. And yes, it's an illegal block in the back against the Raiders. Who do you like in this game tonight? All right, here's the better way to ask it. How many points do you like the Chiefs in this game tonight, Hot Take Icky? Because this was a controversial discussion in the newsroom earlier. Our boss, David Mayernick, who was like bitching about Tom Brady, which he does each and every Monday. And it's just been kind of disgraceful at this point by Mayernick, even though I'm a big fan of David Mayernick, but not as fan of his Tom Brady takes right now. He was saying he would plus the 7 points with the Raiders tonight. And I made a point to him that the Chiefs, I kind of view them right now as like Alabama, even though Alabama did not have the best weekend in the world, but they did win the game, where no matter what the spread is, if I'm thinking about taking the team that's going up against Alabama, I just don't do it plus the points, because when you lose that, you just say, wow, I feel like I'm the biggest moron in the world. So I do think the Chiefs are going to cover tonight by the 7 points, but we are 9 minutes in and still no score between the Raiders and the Chiefs. So how do you think the Chiefs fare tonight there, Hot Take Iggy?
I am with you. I think they win this game pretty handily. No real sweating, no real concern. This Raiders team has not been very good, and we've talked about a lot of the bad play in football so far through the first month. One of the teams you can not include in that conversation has been the Chiefs. They've been one of the most consistent teams so far. So I will buy into that, and that think that continues tonight.
You love hyping up the Chiefs, by the way.
They're a good team.
They are. And I'm not taking anything away from the Chiefs, but you love hyping them up because somehow you guys got a victory, your Colts, up against the Kansas
But it's not college football.
Chiefs.
So, if the Chiefs lose every game from here on out, it doesn't, impact.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
You don't need style points in the NFL. It's about own wins.
And just saying, Hot Take Hickey just said the Chiefs are going to win the game and do so going away. Devontae Adams just got a 58-yard
You
touchdown.
Just said the same thing!
I know, but it's different when I say it.
Oh, my God.
There is a difference. I acknowledge my mistakes. I acknowledge when I'm wrong. My NFL picks have been horrible this year. I have, 4 wins against the spread. I picked 3 games a week through the first 5 weeks of the season. I've been ass when it comes to picking games so far. But unlike you, I'm able to acknowledge when I've been in the wrong, where last week you're still telling me that the Broncos are going to win the Super Bowl, which I just don't get. But that's a never-ending thing with you. So that's why it is different. I'm a man of accountability. I tell you when I'm right. I tell you when I'm wrong. For you, you never tell us when you're wrong.
Oh, I'm not afraid to tell it. I've put it out there on Twitter. I've highlighted my many ill picks. I have laughed myself plenty of time. But I believe you were just the one who called out our boss for laughing at his +7 take.
No.
He's the one
laughing.
I called
out our boss for his Tom Brady take.
But also,
I said that was the topic of conversation that we were having in the newsroom.
And David was thinking
of +7.5 points.
Getting drawn into... Raiders
and
plus
all
seven?
I said was, I can't bet against Kansas City. Do what you want. Bet how you want. But I can't bet against Kansas City in any game because if I take the other side and plus the points and Kansas City blows them out, then it's like, wow, I'm an idiot. I'm a moron. I'm a dope. So that was the only part that I brought up David. I more so brought up David, our boss, because he's just bitching about Tom Brady each and every. He texted me about Tom Brady 2 weeks ago. Oh, the guy does just complain. How is it Tom Brady's fault what happened up against the Falcons? It was disgraceful. Terrible call. Awful call. One of the worst roughing the passer calls I've ever seen. I have no clue how to hit the quarterback anymore. I have no clue what pass interference is. I have no clue what is or what isn't a catch. But that wasn't on Tom Brady. That was the referees just being soft. Who cares if Brady gets up and asks for a flag? You can't give him the flag in that spot. That was a textbook tackle by Grady Jarrett. No?
100% agree. Yeah, Tom Brady didn't have anything to do with that one.
Yeah, so you're agreeing that Marinick was in the wrong there for trying to poke the bear in the newsroom.
Jerome Boger, also the same ref last week who had that questionable hit roughing the passer on Josh Allen that extended a Bills drive that did eventually lead to a win.
Wes Durham, who does the games for the Falcons, after the game, I read what he posted. Now I'm paraphrasing here. But it's pretty much, oh, good to see the rest of the world now knows about this referee because we see him pretty much a few times a year and every time the officiating is disgraceful. You can't call that in that spot.
What I don't see, what's the teaching moment? If you're the referee, what do you say, do this better and we won't throw the flag? I don't understand how you're supposed to then say... Don't do this. Don't do what then?
It's funny because the world that we now live in with COVID, you shouldn't advise sneezing on someone, but just sneeze on him next time, and then we'll rule him down. Or two-hand touch.
We're going to give Tom Brady these flags.
Now,
you pull him.
I'll give credit to Antoine Winfield Jr. So this was right in the aftermath of the game. He joined me on Eye on Football, and I had to ask him about the play. Here was the minute exchange from Antoine Winfield Jr. and yours truly on Eye on Football yesterday on CBS Sports Radio. There's a controversial play at the end of the game that extended a drive for you guys when there was a roughing the passer called. I'm just trying to wonder, you're a defensive player in this league. You've seen it go both ways. How do you hit the quarterback now?
Yeah, that's a great question. You can't hit them too hard, and you can't hit them too soft because they might break out and throw a pass or something. So, yeah, it's tricky with the quarterbacks. You know, all you can really do is wrap them up to the whistle blows, I guess.
Did you think that was the right call, or you guys got a roughing the passer when Grady Jarrett sacked Tom Brady on 3rd and 5?
Yeah, because I'm on the good side of it. So, yeah, yeah, of course.
But you don't agree with the call. You like the call, it goes your way, but you got to, yeah, that like was you. You would be thinking that would be rough.
Exactly.
So I appreciate the honesty. Like in the beginning, hey, it's a great question. I have no clue how to hit the quarterback. I'm happy we benefited from the call. But yeah, if that was called against my team, if I made that hit, you would be outraged. And you know what? It's crazy to say this. With the way that game momentum was shifting, where it was 21-0 Tampa, and then the game just stopped for Tampa Bay, if the Falcons get the ball back there at 21-15, I think they end up winning the game. Like, I really would believe there in that spot. And I know it's trust in Mariota and an offense that isn't all that good. But in that spot, I got to think that the Falcons are going to get the ball back and they're going to go march down the field and win the game. Would the Falcons have won that game if they get the football back, hot take, Icky?
I will say no. I will say the veteran defense of the Bucs steps up and gets one stop.
Marco, what you make of the call? Because you've seen a lot of football. You're a veteran around here. That was just inexcusable.
Man, I get older by the day.
It is true.
No, it's obviously an awful call. It's awful. Look, I know what they were. I know why they called it. I do. I think that's the one thing that gets lost. The fact that he kind of rolled over on him. Now, he didn't do it hard. He didn't do it in any way that should have been a penalty. But I think that's what they called. I think that's the reason why you got the flag.
But what else are you supposed
to do? I understand that. But when he tackled him, look, the way the NFL is now, because they don't want your full body weight on the quarterback, once he tossed him, they didn't like the fact that he rolled over with him and on top of him. Then Brady basically tried to kick him, and he kind of got up and over him. I think they were looking at the fact that he eventually wound up on top of Brady and then was kind of jumping away. I don't think they saw the Brady kick. They saw Jared coming off of him. It's the wrong call. It's awful, but at least I think I know what I saw. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess. I understand what you're saying.
I think that's why they got it.
You're not going to get me to say that, oh, I still agree with the call.
Oh, no. Yeah. I don't agree with the call. The call was awful, but at least I know. Like, there's times where you look at it and you go, what the hell am I looking at? Like, what exactly is he? I think I know what he saw. He just saw it wrong.
Now, this was the exact quote after the game. What I had was the defender grabbed the quarterback while he was still in the pocket and necessarily throwing him to the ground. Boger said in a post-game pool report, this is what I was making my decision based on. I think your explanation makes more sense than that.
You know what? I didn't see that, and that's an awful job by Boger because I was giving him a little bit of an out. That's awful. If he thought that he threw him down to the ground too hard,
once again,
then that's awful.
What I had was the defender grabbed the quarterback while he was still in the pocket and necessarily throwing him to the ground.
That's garbage. He didn't throw him down too hard. He didn't.
No.
Again, did he roll up on top of him? Yes. Did he do it in a giving
play?
him the business type of no. You know what I mean? Like, no. He just tackled him. Yeah, that's just the way the way his momentum took him.
There was a preseason game. This must have been now four. I was doing the weekend overnight, so it had to be over 4 years ago. And I was still covering the Eagles a little bit. And it was a controversial, I think it was in the Vikings preseason. And I'll never forget going in the locker room like 2 days later in Philadelphia. And I went up to Chris Long because everyone was talking about this. And I asked Chris Long about it. And he just looked at me. He goes, man, I'm in a passive mood today. Like, I'm not in the mood to answer this question because it's a weird spot for players to kind of blast the referees because they can only get fined and nothing. And everyone knows what it is.
Right.
But there's no way to know how to hit the quarterback anymore.
Again, they're trying to make it safe. And I understand the concept. Yeah. But at some point, you actually have to play the game, right?
And realize it is a violent sport.
And you have to understand that there's guys on the other side. Like, I get it when you say, like, no, you know, I don't want you to take that second step. I don't want you to be too violent. Like, I get all that,
and I
get it. But you're also telling guys that are going 100%, basically 100 miles an hour, and you want them to be able to think and react, and it's hard to do. There's going to be mistakes. It's just, that's the way it is. And when you get something like this where you see that it's not malicious, that's where you got to let it go.
I think you said earlier, how else was he supposed to hit him? Like, how else was he supposed to
tackle him? He wrapped him up by the waist and again, did he violently toss him to the ground? In my opinion, no.
Like, you know, if you make contact with the head, if you smack someone's head, you go,
can't go high, can't go low.
You try to take someone's legs out, totally different.
Right.
I don't know what else Grady Jarrett's supposed to do.
But that's what I mean. So you got him by the waist. Now, if he'd have just kind of flung him down without rolling up on top of him, which I don't know if that was possible the way his momentum was taking him.
I don't think there's anything he could have done.
I don't know. And then you're telling me that it was the way he threw him down. Like, I get it. Brady's not mobile, but like, you still got to tackle the guy. Like, you still got to get him. You can't just touch him and he's not going to fall. Like, it doesn't work like that. He's going as hard as he can. You're trying to go half that speed. You still have to tackle the man. I know he's 45. He's still a pretty big dude. Like, you still got to get him to the ground. I don't know what he was supposed to do in that spot. I don't.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Oklahoma beat down once again, this time the worst one they've suffered. And then how do we evaluate Texas after Red River Showdown with Quinn Ewers now back? We will answer all that on the other side.
What's up, everybody? Guess who's hosting a new podcast? No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. Listen as I pull back the curtain on everything beyond the world of sports. Interviewing influential guests, outspoken celebrities, and thought leaders across the political, financial, and social spectrum. You know me. I'll give you my unbiased opinion. A No Mercy episode drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. A presentation of Cadence 13 and Odyssey Studio. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcast. What's up, everybody? Guess who's hosting a new podcast? No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. Listen as I pull back the curtain on everything beyond the world of sports. Interviewing influential guests, outspoken celebrities, and thought leaders across the political, financial, and social spectrum. You know me. I'll give you my unbiased opinion. A No Mercy episode drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. A presentation of Cadence 13 and Odyssey Studio. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcast.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
This season, for the first time ever, you can hear every Westwood One NFL broadcast stream live for free. Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, the International Series, holiday triple headers, and every postseason game. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app and westwoodonesports.com via Westwood One Station streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, all sponsored by AutoZone. It's time to say goodnight to that check engine light with the free AutoZone Fix Finder service. It will help troubleshoot the likely cause of your light for free. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Real quickly here. There was a fan tonight at the Chiefs game. I just saw this from our pal James Palmer of the NFL Network. He has a sign, Hickey, pertaining to a quarterback that is not playing in this game tonight. It's not a sign of support for his guy, Patrick Mahomes. It's not a sign of criticism for one Derek Carr, the opposing quarterback, that is at Arrowhead tonight. You have any idea who this sign is about? It is of an active quarterback in the National Football League.
I have seen the tweet. So,
oh, you suck.
I could have just pretended I didn't see it, take a guess.
You should have done that.
Let's go with, I don't know, Russell Wilson. Oh, I got it right. Wow, what can I say? I just got a knack for these things. Oh, yeah. Or I could have just owned up to it, been honest, and said, you know, I saw it. A man of honesty, integrity.
Now, I know that this is AFC West on AFC West, but there is no Denver Broncos playing in this game. What's the thought process of bringing a Russ can't cook sign to the game if you're a Chiefs fan?
It's actually got to be fired up. Because people that wear the jersey of a team that's not playing in the game to a stadium, or people that bring signs like this, Russ can't cook, to a game that
he's
has nothing to do with the Broncos.
Jersey, just to be clear, but the sign, I get your point.
Kick him out.
Kick him out.
Kick him out. If fans want to attack him, beat him up. I have no problem.
What? Stop.
This stuff has to stop.
A fan getting beat up for bringing a Russ can't cook sign, and the guy can't have the freedom to bring a Russ can't cook sign. I agree, it's out of place, but beat him up and kick him out of the stadium. What's wrong with you?
I think this is the most egregious thing fans could do. Because all you're doing is bringing attention to yourself.
The most egregious thing? Do you see some of the violence that occurs in stadiums?
You know what you're trying to do.
Hyperbole, Hickey.
I may have fired up because at Saturday at the Mets game, there's a guy sitting two rows in front of me with an Aaron Judge jersey on. And maybe I'm just still having PTSD from that and just frustration.
Was he a Met fan trying to get Judge in the Mets?
No, it was a Yankee jersey with, even worse, Judge written out on the back. So that's a ultimate fraud.
If you want that debate, Peter Schwartz Mraz already had it. I don't need to hear it.
The point is, when you do stuff like that, all you're doing is you are inviting attention to yourself, and I'm not for it. I'm sorry. Don't take the attention away from the game. Don't be selfish. And if you want to be selfish like that, you get what's coming to you. That's all I'll say. I'm not advocating anything.
Oh, shut.
I'm just saying security.
You're a moron.
I'm a moron.
You're a moron.
What is the point of bringing a Russ Kent Cook sign?
It's stupid, but you're just saying that the guy should get the crap beat out of him. Like, what are you, an animal?
I'm not advocating. I'm just saying.
You're raised by a bunch of savages?
If that were to happen.
I would think your parents are probably two nice people.
They're very nice.
Which, by the way, you're at the Mets game Saturday, right? I've already ranted about the Mets. And I said I wouldn't bring up the Mets again, but this is, you brought up the Mets. I didn't bring up the Mets here. So I've already told you how disgusted I am with our baseball team. But little birdie in the newsroom told me that he met the whole Hickey clan. Parents, sister, girlfriend. I was at the game. You know I was at the game. I said, let's meet up for a beer on, Friday? No text, no nothing, no, hey, Zach, what's up? Nothing from you. But Rich Ackerman? Ack? Gets to meet the whole Hickey family?
It was right time, right place.
Oh.
Their booth is right by the train where they got off, and they walked by. They saw Ack.
Zach was broadcasting there?
And they said, oh, I want to go meet him, but they weren't going to just do it without walking up
to
him.
Your parents wanted to meet Ack?
They wanted to meet Ack. They wanted to meet the person whose voice they hear every night.
I like Ack. But your,
I tried to tell him that.
But your parents, geez, well, they want to meet Ack for what?
Ack's a great person.
Did your parents bring a sign, let's go Ack to the game or something like that?
If
like
they did, I would have said, security, I got four people over here, get them out.
You can beat up my mom and my dad.
Let's go Ack. All right, out of here. Sayonara.
Okay. Yeah, the sign to me is weird. The Russ can't cook at the game. Yeah, it's a guy trying to get on TV. And it worked. Guy's getting talked about.
Yeah, I guess. Congratulations. Oh, I fell into the trap.
What?
Shame on me. Giving this guy the attention he wanted.
The fan is an attention-seeking whore, and he got his attention. That's what it is.
Congratulations, buddy.
And by the way, Oklahoma, just abysmal. Absolutely abysmal. They lost three games in a row. Brent Venables can't stop anyone with his defense. Allowed 41 points to Kansas State, 55 to TCU, and then this Texas game, you allow Texas to put up not only 49, but you can't score a point? And you get embarrassed in Red River, which we always say, right? It's a high-scoring game, always finds a way to be close. Nope. Good to see Quinn Ewers back. That's a disgraceful performance by Oklahoma. And here's something I'll just throw out there, Ryan. We've never seen a two-loss team make the playoffs. I don't think Texas is running the playoffs. But I did think about this. Running the schedule. I don't think Texas is going to playoff. But if Texas were to run the schedule, when Ewers gets injured in an Alabama game, Ewers did not play in the Texas Tech game that they lost by three. If they go on to beat Iowa State, beat Oklahoma State, beat Kansas State, beat TCU, beat Kansas, beat Baylor, and then win the Big 12 championship, in this funky year of college football where you know Georgia, Alabama are going to get in, Big 10's going to get a spot. Let's say the Pac-12 beats up on one another. Let's just say Clemson gets a loss. If Texas is a two-loss team with a Big 12 championship when their quarterback was out for two of those losses, do they have an argument? I don't think they would get in. I don't think it's going to happen, but I saw Barrett Salee throw this out there, and it got me thinking. I'm going to say no, because a lot would have to go wrong, and also Texas would have to win out.
There's a lot going against them, but I would love to see an argument where if you have, let's say, five ranked wins with two losses versus, let's say, a Clemson schedule, that outside of NC State, right?
Clemson would have to get a loss. So
they're 12-1, but their only win is against NC State. It's not exactly an impressive resume.
Nothing against Joey McGuire and Texas Tech. It would have been a whole lot more of a compelling argument if their only loss was to Alabama. And let's say they survived that game without Quinn Ewers against Texas Tech, and then they ran the gauntlet the rest of the way. For them to do that, though, it's a long shot, but something that I did see over the weekend.
What's up, everybody? Guess who's hosting a new podcast? No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. Listen as I pull back the curtain on everything beyond the world of sports, interviewing influential guests, outspoken celebrities, and thought leaders across the political, financial, and social spectrum. You know me, I'll give you my unbiased opinion. A No Mercy episode drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith, a presentation of Cadence 13 and Odyssey Studio, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcast.
What's up, everybody? Guess who's hosting a new podcast? No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. Listen as I pull back the curtain on everything beyond the world of sports, interviewing influential guests, outspoken celebrities, and thought leaders across the political, financial, and social spectrum. You know me, I'll give you my unbiased opinion. A No Mercy episode drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith, a presentation of Cadence 13 and Odyssey Studio, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcast.